You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. This is Rooftop Farming with Ben Flanner, a weekly update on heritageradionetwork.org, live from the Brooklyn Grange.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. We are on the line with Ben Flanner, founder of the Brooklyn Grange, and we are excited to hear on this beautiful spring day what is shaking over at the farm.
Right. Hey, Aaron.
How's it going?
It's going good. There's a lot shaking. We're excited to feel like the weather's taking a little bit of a turn for the warmer. We got seeds germinating all over the place, but especially starting last week once we got a couple warm, sunny days. To start, first of all, with the outdoor, the direct sown bed, which includes lettuces, different salad greens, radishes, and Japanese turnips. They're all popping, and some of those have been in the ground for almost a month. But if they don't get the perfect temperatures or the environment where it warms up enough during the day, which we didn't really get, they all come. So we're going to have a good strong wave of that stuff, which will be coming in about 25 days or so. We also have carrots and peas in the ground, but they're not up yet. But that's not untypical because they take a little bit longer and they were put in a little bit more recently.
And
so we're excited. What's that?
Sorry, I feel like a little silly asking this, but when you say the seeds have germinated, what exactly does that mean?
That means that, so when we put a seed into the ground, you give it moisture, you give it the proper temperature and the proper environment, which means not too moist, because if you really soak it, like if it's in sitting water, it'll die. And if it dries out too much, then it'll also die. So you apply a proper amount of moisture to it, and then after typically between, say, 5 to 15 days, depending on the seed, it'll germinate, meaning that it pops and a tiny little sprout comes out. And you typically have the seeds in the ground between, say, a quarter inch to an inch, depending on the type of seed, so buried underneath. And then the little sprout comes out, it pushes for the light and the sun, and it emerges out of the soil.
Got it. Thanks.
You are welcome. So speaking of germinating, lots more of that going on in the hoop house, where we have the seeds that are in there need a little bit warmer temperature. And those are the tomatoes, the peppers, and the eggplants. And they've all been coming up. We've had thousands of them germinate in their little seedling trays. And then also, which something else that we started in the hoop house, which I spoke about several weeks ago, was the kale. And this is now the fifth week of it since we planted it. And we started taking that outside. We planted them in the black seedling trays, which are 10 inches by 20 inches, so they're a rectangular plastic tray, and each one of them has 98 cells in it. So it's fairly small little holes for each kale seed. If you were to imagine it, it's 17 going the long way along the 20-inch span, and then 14 going along the long way, and then 7 going along the narrow way. And we put one seed in each cell. And kale has a really high germination rate, so we got at least 95% germination, meaning pretty nearly every cell has one healthy plant in it. And this week we were looking at them, and the ways that you test are by looking at the root ball that's underneath in the soil and seeing if that's starting to really fill up the volume that's available to it, and then also looking at the leaf that is out of the soil. And the leaf was probably about 4 inches tall by now. It has the seed leaf, which is the natural leaf that comes out with the seed, and then it starts to develop what we call the true leaves. And they're different shaped, and you can clearly tell the difference between them. And it's starting to develop 2 to 4 true leaves, and the stem's getting a little bit stronger, and the root's starting to fill up the volume of its cell. So we took them outside, and we planted about 1,000 kale plants into the outdoor area yesterday. So just to go a little bit more into detail about how we do that, I thought that would be interesting. So we prepare our beds, and our beds are 40 inches wide, And these ones that we put them in were probably about 40, 50 feet long, maybe 60 feet long. And we till in the cover crop, make sure that, any significant healthy roots are turned up or killed, so they're not going to compete with the crop that we're putting in. And then we blend in just a very small amount of alfalfa meal, which is a natural, organic, mostly a nitrogen provider. It basically will break down in there. And then we also put about a half inch to an inch of fresh compost on the top of the bed. We rake that in. And this compost was unique. It's good compost that we made, but also at the same time, we weren't sure if it had reached quite the high enough temperatures to kill all the seeds that can be in it, because when we make our compost, we put tomatoes, tomatillos, tons of different weeds, peppers, all these different inputs, and many of them contain seeds. And if the compost doesn't reach a hot enough temperature, you don't know for sure if all the seeds are dead. So if you top dress with that, meaning you put an inch or so on top of the bed, and there are a lot of seeds, especially once it starts to turn a lot warmer, they will compete with the crop that you're trying to grow. So as a sort of buffer to that, we still took the risk and used this compost, whereas we could have cured it for another year or something like that to kill more seeds. Then we top dressed that with chocolate husk, which we picked up from the Mass Brothers last week. And it's basically the byproduct of making chocolate. And it's from Williamsburg. It's a waste product that they'd be throwing away otherwise. And the shells on the outside are very dry, they're very heavy, and they contain some nitrogen. And they can also suppress the weeds if you put a little layer of them down. And they also contain moisture. It's essentially a mulch. It's a nice mulch to use. So we put all those layers on, rake it out real smooth, and then we dig little holes and put in the kale plants. And we'll keep you posted on how they're doing.
Awesome. Wow, thanks for taking us through the replanting process, and look forward to keeping an eye with you on the kale plants. How long do you think roughly before we'll be able to get a little taste of some?
Probably about a month. When you transplant a plant like that, kale goes through about 1 week of transplant shock, meaning that it takes about a week for it to establish in its new home, and the roots will kind of just be spreading out and trying to get their bearings. And you won't see a lot of change in the leaves. But all of a sudden, after that week, maybe 8-9 days, then they'll really start taking off, and it'll be an amazing growth curve, because the days will be starting to get longer than two. We'll be into mid to late April. And by May, we'll definitely be getting some harvest off of it. Today's April 4th.
Awesome. Great. Well, Ben, thank you so much for joining us. And I definitely encourage folks out there, if you want to learn more about the Grange or get involved at the farm, visit them at www.brooklyngrange.com. And tune in next Thursday. We'll bring you another rooftop update. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.